All right, so Miguel, do you have your script?
I think I'm gonna, I'm just gonna go move to another location outside of my, I have a little office off the garage because my kids are going wild, so bear with me.
Okay.
Okay, I'm calling the Beaconville Architectural District Commission public hearing order at 5 p.m. on June 18, 2020. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Beaconville Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conference. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. You are calling in and cannot use the platform. You can send your question to staff via email at eoac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag number BH June 18 hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So we're going to start with the first case, 9 Temple Street.
Let's see, is Stefano, Christina, are you there?
Caroline, yes, I'm
Caroline.
Here.
Caroline, sorry, I'm so sorry. There you are, right there. So why don't you go ahead, and I have the items that you sent me, and then I have a map where we can show the visibility. So just explain your project and yeah.
Sure. So I purchased a condo last year and it needs a lot of work. And the first thing it needs is a central heating and AC system. The condo has electric heat only. The only power source is electricity. And so I chose the Mitsubishi HVAC system. It has a condenser that must be outside as well as a small branch box. The branch box is not an issue. It's small and won't be seen, but the branch box, if you pull up, is what I would like approval on. The size of the branch box are in the yellow highlight on the 12th row down. And I'm not an expert, but I believe it's in lineal inches. LN equals lineal inches when I Googled that. Those are the dimensions. And what I wanted to do was put it in the corner of my roof deck. I sent a picture right there, but I wasn't sure if I was allowed to move it over if it was too loud. I'm told that it's a very quiet system, but there's a bedroom, as you can see right there. So I was just seeking your thoughts for that today. I think what I'm going to do is put it in the corner first. I mean, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I don't think you can see it all from the street in the corner.
Okay. So I just want to show everybody where we're talking here. So this is 9 Temple Street. And the only visibility that you would, or if any, would be across the street on Cambridge Street. And it would be, this is your deck right here, right?
No, my deck's below it.
Oh, perfect, yeah. Look,
yeah, so that deck is someone else's. You can see the top of my railing.
Right,
yeah, sort of right there. That's my deck.
Yeah. So it's
below it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the visibility, and I've been out there to check the visibility of the proposed location, and it seems fine within regulations.
Okay. Do you have the size again of the equipment?
Yes, I sent it in to you, and it's marked in yellow. There's a spec sheet called Submittal Data, and in yellow highlight, you will see the external dimensions, height, width, and depth.
So it's 52 by 41?
Correct.
Okay. And can it be painted a color or is your white?
I asked for black, and a better color. They don't have it. And the only other option is to spray paint it. And for me, I feel like spray painting is worse for the world than, you know, spray painting is not good for the environment. So I thought, you know, I tried to get black, but I just...
Can we see the photo again of the photos you provide?
What's that?
Can we see the photo again of the deck?
Yes.
So are you planning to put it on the white wall or on the brick wall?
Sort of like in the corner. It can't go on the wall. It has to, like, it has to have air around it. It'll go like, do you see where that flower pot is? The big flower, it's going to go like behind that, standing right there.
So it has to be freestanding.
It does, yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
I don't.
Okay. We'll take public comment. And I have to read something here. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat, the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press number 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BHJune18 here. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Okay, we do have one hand raised, Rochelle Gerwitz. You could just state your name for the record and you can go ahead now. You have 2 minutes.
Rochelle Gerwitz, Beacon Hill Civic Association Architecture Committee. We feel that the rear of the property is highly visible from a public way, Cambridge Street, and so a mock-up should be constructed and reviewed, and if visible, some sort of screening should be required. Guideline A9 states that HVAC equipment must be installed in such a manner that it is not visible from a public way, and it should be noted that there's already an existing condenser on an upper level that may be a violation and should be relocated or screened as well. See photo, we had sent in photos attached to the end of our submitted comments that you can use for your reference. And that is the end of comment.
Okay.
Thanks, Rochelle.
Any other comment?
I don't see anybody else raising their hand. And there's nothing on Twitter.
And we have nothing on the Beacon Hill email address. And I'll just respond to Rochelle's comment. I did visit the site and looked at the visibility, and it's minimally visible, much, much less than the one that's above it.
Okay. Nick, do you want to give the staff comments?
Yeah, staff recommends approval as submitted, but would like to request that the colors colored something that will blend better into the background.
But how do I do that? Because they don't have any other color. Do I just have it spray painted or?
I mean, that would be up to you. We could work together to come up with a solution there.
Is it, because I will do that, but instead of that, can I cover it with like a trellis, which is sort of a gentler form for everything? Or yeah, do you want?
Or
that possibility.
Yeah, or even like a lattice, like, I mean, almost
like something
like in the top of the picture there, but just get it into the, you know, put it in a square in that kind of rectangular area and put it, and you can have the condenser, again, it's airflow, right? So if it's lattice-like is at the top of this picture, that, you know, as long as the condenser sort of in the middle of whatever you enclose it in the lattice, and it's got a couple of feet on each side and the lattice is open like that, that would probably work fine.
And I could put flowers on it. So, okay, the only problem, so that's fine. If it's going to be a lattice, do I have the freedom to move it over a little bit? Or is it the lattice that, do I have to keep it in the corner if I'm covering it?
I mean, I think in general, you know, the suggestion of the Civic Association probably is good to do a little mock-up. And then you can see the visibility. And then you can move it around, you know, and the mock-up can be just 2x4, you know, something very easy to move. And I think if you can find a place where it's less visible, that would be the best location. And sometimes you know, we had to have a mock-up because you cannot tell from the photos, but if you do a mock-up, that should be helpful.
Okay, I am on a tight deadline though, and this has to go first. So do I have to bring this another month, or can I do a mock-up like as soon as possible and have you?
Well, we'll discuss it, but I think, in my opinion, if you can do a mock-up and Nick can review it with you to make sure it's not visible if possible or very, very little visible. I mean, from the photo, you are at a lower level. So if you keep it at grade, it's going to be hard to see it, you know?
Yeah, you will see a little. So I'm going to do a mock-up, but what I'm going to try to do is not wait another month because I have four contractors ready to go after this. So what is my next step? I have like a wooden mock-up done?
Yes, with the correct height. And yeah. Then you could paint it like color that you can see, you know. Sometimes people use like orange tape or, you know, something like that, just so we can see what it is. And I think because it's, you know, behind a brick wall, maybe the lattice could be like a brick color, you know, so it kind of blends with the brick wall. That would be my suggestion. And Nick can work with you on the color.
Right.
Okay. So I'm open to all this. And of course I'll do this, but for my mock-up, I don't know how to do that. Do I have to pay someone? Do you know someone or do I?
No, you can do it yourself.
I mean, do I go hammer wood together?
It just has to be the right height, you know?
Well, I can work with you, Caroline.
But offline. We'll go offline. Yeah, we'll get the mock-up. So, and then,
No, go ahead. Finish, please.
Go offline. You'll work with me to mock it up. We'll submit another picture. And then we'll install it. And then we'll work on a lattice or... I'd rather have a lattice to cover it. But we can work on something that is...
You probably have to submit a sample or some kind of drawing showing the size and, you know, what you're planning to do.
I understand. But can I get the... condenser in now? Can I get the mock-up, get that approved and get that rolling and then submit? I don't know what I want to go pick out. Well, the lattice pick out.
I think that's a commissioner discussion here. Like, are we approving this subject to a mock-up confirmed by staff that it's minimally visible, or are you suggesting to continue it, Miguel? I would tend to go for the former, but
can we see the photo again
of the
from Cambridge Street?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, it's way down here. So I know that it's 40, you know, it's about 4 feet high, but if you see anything, it'll be just the top of it. So my suggestion would be to do the mock-up, and if Nick can confirm it's minimal visible, we could approve it. I don't think she has to come back, but let's discuss it. Do you have any comments from any other commissioner?
We actually have one more public comment from Reverend Sarah Garrard. Reverend Garrard, you can go ahead and speak.
Hi, yeah, my church is actually across the street. So Caroline, as the people who actually would see it every day, we literally don't care and we hope you're super cool. So you would, in order to see this thing, I'm just gonna speak from the person with like the experience of that building, you would have to be standing in our yard, which almost no one does, to look into that, and then you're gonna be blocked by trees. So I think it would almost be impossible for any pedestrian to be able to see this. And so this is someone who like sees that view basically every day. So, so I will say like, it would be almost impossible for anyone to notice it and certainly would not find it offensive looking. So that is from our perspective as the across the street neighbor.
Okay.
Thank you, Reverend.
I would say that, you know, do the mock-up, and that's important to see the height. Then you can move it around if you need to, just to make sure that, you know, it's not very visible from the street. And then you need to submit some drawings of the trellis or a sample, you know, what kind of trellis you want to do. And then the color you're going to paint it, but my suggestion would be to do it in brick color because you're going to be against the brick wall.
Okay, but let me back up. I want to understand this. I don't have time to do the trellis. Like, this is going to delay the whole thing. Can I do the mock-up? You'll see that you really can't see it. Get approval, get it in, get the guys rolling, and then
you don't need to finish the project. You just need to get a certificate of appropriateness. That means that you got approval to do this work, and then you have time to do it later. You don't have to do it at the same time.
No, but I understand, but I have to go pick a trellis now. That's going to take me a lot of time. I haven't even thought of that.
You have 1 year.
I lost you.
I mean, certain time to produce what you promised you were going to do. So no worries about that. Just do the mock-up first, get Nick to approve it, you know, make sure that it's okay. And then from that, if that gets, you know, approved, that will be the proviso. Then you can install your equipment and then add the trellis afterwards. Okay?
So Caroline, so just to recap here, the condenser unit that you're proposing will not be that visible from the street. It will be fine. So we're approving that with the condition that I come out again and just make sure that the height is not visible. Or if it is, then we're gonna do that. The commission is making the recommendation to set up the lattice work to shield it. But Miguel, am I correct to say that you're remanding these details to me, or you're making a motion to do that?
Yes. Let me just finish. Is there any other comment from the commission?
This is Matt. Nick, how do you feel about the trellis? I think it's a little.
I can't hear anybody.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Nick, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Matt. Yeah.
Okay. What do you feel about the trellis? Do you feel it's a little bit fussy for this location?
Honestly, my thoughts are yes. I think just the bare condenser unit is going to be completely okay.
Yeah, I think so also. I was between computers and I never saw this picture till she just pulled it back up. I know that building. I don't see any way this thing's going to be very visible at all. And I would almost retract what I was saying about a lattice. I mean, again, pending Nick's, you know, confirmation of that, I just, looking at it objectively and where it's going in this photo, I don't see how it's going to be visible at all. And if it is, it's going to be so fractional that, I would agree that you're almost calling attention to it with the lattice.
Once that the mock-up and Nick confirms that it's barely visible, I think if the applicant wants to do the trellis, then she can. I mean, I would say that if you can, you know, try to make it as invisible as possible, that's the goal, okay? So do we have a motion?
So I would make a motion that we approve the application as submitted with the proviso that staff do a site visit to confirm the nominal or zero visibility of a mock-up. And if in staff's view there is a level of visibility that would then the commission advises that they do some sort of screening to be approved by staff. Not the most concise motion, but I think it's all right.
Do you have a second?
I will second
that. Second that motion.
Okay. I'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Yay.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Peter Weingold?
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richmond? Wen?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you. We now move to Park Street.
Don, are you here? Mr. Mills. I don't see him anywhere.
Just wait a minute.
Okay. All right, we should probably move on to the next one. He knows that, you know, he has the notification, so we'll just move on.
14 Beacon Street?
I'm sorry, I'm here. I was muted.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you heard me. Sorry. My apologies. You said you didn't have the image or you didn't have me?
You're ready to go. I have your presentation here.
Okay, great. So, so this is a rear of 2 Park Street, which is an 1887 building built along Park Street that backs up to the Granary Cemetery. The primary issue is some repairs, and I understand that all but one item was approved administratively. And so the one item that we need to review is a bracket on the back. The fire escape is on the lower three floors. Nick is showing you the plan of the first floor. It's in Park Street's on the bottom of the sheet. The Granary Cemetery is at the top of the sheet. So the fire escape runs from a low roof at above the third floor down to grade and exits through an ornamental iron fence that we actually repaired in 96. So if you want to keep going through the images there, here's the rear facade. It's hard to get pictures that help showcase this because it is tends to be somewhat in the shade, but the lower left-hand corner is the an angled large bracket supporting the third floor landing that in the lower right-hand corner is shown penetrating brick below a brownstone sill and above a brownstone lintel. That brownstone is starting to crack. This fire escape was probably installed in the 20s. So the current owner, Park Street Church, inherited it from the prior owner, Houghton Mifflin. What we'd like to do, if you look in the upper right-hand corner of this, the larger of the two angled brackets on the right is the one that is proposed to be removed from the brick and run straight down to the granary areaway wall that's behind that ornamental fence. The upper left, there is already a vertical support just like that behind the ornamental fence on the landing to the right that serves the second floor. So this would be something to alleviate the pain and suffering of the masonry. We'll deal with the masonry repairs later under a different certificate. We wanted to get this corrected first. So this would come straight down and bear on the concrete cap of the brick retaining wall that is at grade. We have a picture of that as well. If you want to go to the next slide, this just shows different details of the repair work that we're doing with bent gratings that was approved administratively. The upper left shows the ornamental iron fence that's running under that intermediate landing. And you can see in sort of mid left, there's a vertical support of that landing. Yes, that runs down and the right-hand view of that to the right of that shows the way that lands on the areaway wall. So it doesn't interrupt the ornamental iron fence at all. So that's what we're proposing to do for that one larger angled bracket that we need to repair. The upper left shows that angled bracket through the stair. The upper right shows the angled bracket coming down to that precarious location in that thin masonry. But no, that not the little one that you circled there. That one's going to stay. The little one is fine. The bigger one. Yeah. And then the lower left just shows a bent railing we have to repair. Its support into the brick was dislodged. And then the lower right shows, you can just see the gate that's incorporated now into the ornamental iron. This fence has two layers with spear finials. We had some spear finials replicated by DeAngelis Ironwork back in 96. There were some missing and we repaired them. So the fence has held up quite well. You go to the next slide. So this is a diagram of the angled bracket that permeates the brick wall that we want to extend that, make it vertical and go behind the ornamental iron. So that's the only part that's that requires approval today is that one repair.
Please note that nothing is approved administrative. Everything has to be approved by the commission.
I'm sorry. It was put into the end of the agenda for That's approval okay. by the commission. I'm
That's
sorry.
Be ratified by the commission.
Yeah, of course. I understand that. I'm sorry, Miguel. It's just that those were not those were in kind replacement, so there was no change. So,
I have a quick question. Have you engaged a structural engineer?
We spoke with we have a structural engineer that's looking at the masonry repairs. We engaged a fire escape installer who works with a structural engineer. And my first thought on this particular bracket was to reinforce the stringers and the landing and have basically move this angled bracket to the left, replacing the smaller angled bracket that is currently there. And so that this could bear into the masonry to the left of all this. My concern about that in part is that the floor framing behind this wall runs parallel to the wall, so it doesn't do a great job of bracing the wall. So I felt like the strongest structural approach, which was confirmed by the fire escapes engineer, was to run this straight down. And because there is one other vertical that's running straight down that's performed quite well to the right of this, and because that change is essentially behind the ornamental iron, we decided that seemed to be the appropriate structural solution.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
So let's open public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. You are calling in and cannot use the platform. You can press number 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BHJune18 hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Okay, the first comment comes from Rochelle Gewertz. Rochelle, you can go ahead. You'll have 2 minutes.
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association, no objection.
And we have no comments on the email.
There's no comments on Twitter either.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to close the public comment, and now we open it to the commission discussion. I think this vertical column is very unfortunate. I mean, it's 2 stories high. My suggestion would be to work with the structural engineer and find another solution. To me, this is like making worse the situation that exists right now. And the granary is one of the most visited locations in Beacon Hill. It'd be sad if this is the only way to repair the stair. So I'm going to also, Nick, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, sorry, look, I had some concerns over the intrusiveness of the rail that goes all the way down. Staff's just concerned that, Bill, is there any way, or Don, sorry, is there any way this can't be reassembled as it is? Is it just not structurally sound, or?
You mean by keeping the bracket?
Yeah.
We could remove the brownstone, put steel behind it.
Okay.
Weld the bracket to the steel, and then put brownstone back in. We could disassemble the masonry sill, brick, and brownstone, and then create a steel lintel that's behind all of that. And weld the angled bracket into it. That could be done.
It's just really not a good solution what you're proposing. You could also explore extending that landing in the other direction and then adding another bracket on the facade. That would look much better. You'll have to have a structural engineer take a look at it, but I think this huge two-story column that is actually blocking the windows and the, you know, the light is really not a good solution. There is all the, you know, this, I've seen many creative ways of fixing these staircases, and it strikes me that this, you know, two-story column is not the only option that you could use. You could find something else. You could brainstorm with a structural engineer and find something that would be more appropriate.
In reference to the blocking of the view, this is actually moving a diagonal bracket further away from the window in the same plane.
Well, I'm talking about the visible view from the granary.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't, it actually improves the view from inside.
Yeah, I mean, the granary site is, you know, visited every year by thousands of tourists. I think we should do better, especially, you know, for such a utilitarian structure attached to the facade. You know, we should do better.
Would retaining the bracket where it is and doing a structural solution to better support it without impacting the masonry be an acceptable approach? I mean, we have to deal with the brownstone anyway that's cracked.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to, you know, explore what would be best. In my opinion, if you can make some bracket that is similar to the other brackets and extend, you know, the bearing point, you know, to the right, and then put another bracket there, probably will look better. Or, you know, explore another way to do it. I don't think we can decide right now. Yeah. But I think your solution is really not a good solution. Do you have any other comments from the commissioners?
Is it possible just to see the photos again? Just to get some better context here? Yeah.
I can actually do a street view in the cemetery if you'd like to see everything.
Yes, I would like to see that.
Okay. So let me just back up a little here. There you go. There.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he could probably extend a beam here underneath and then put another bracket here, or maybe put three brackets. I just think putting a very large column, two stories high, coming down is very, is not the best solution at all. And if you want to keep it the same, which exists, but just fix the structural problem, I think that's not my preference, but, you know, that's acceptable because basically you're just doing a repair, you're not changing it. But adding this huge column, vertical column to land, you know, next to the historic railing, I think is not a good solution.
And this is to hold up, I mean, this is structurally to support the landing, is that correct?
Yes, to support this piece.
The landing and the stringer. The stringer's coming up and down.
Yeah, I mean, you can, I'm sure a structural engineer can help you brainstorm another solution. You know, the staircase is very light. It only has to take its weight and, you know, somebody coming down, so.
Wait, yeah, 100 pounds per square foot.
Yes, I'm sure you can find a different solution. Mm-hmm.
This is Matt. You could probably beef up the smaller diagonal member and then have a cross member that feeds into that.
Right.
To support that landing and stringer. I'm not a structural engineer, but that could be an option.
We would need a stringer across the base of that landing, because right now the way it's supported, it's angles going back to the wall and the grating spans left to right. So we need to transfer the weight of the stringers to the left side, which can be done.
Would you like to continue this application?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so do you have any other comments from the commissioners? Okay, do you have a motion? After the motion, we make a motion to continue this application and for you to explore a different solution on supporting that landing that is not a vertical column that is 2 stories high, you know, coming down. I think the repairs, we'll see them administrative, but I don't see any problem with the repairs. I mean, just repairing the iron, so that's okay. It's just, well,
we could proceed with the repairs.
We'll have to work for that, but I personally don't see any problem.
Yeah.
So I can put that part of the motion, but you know, when we go to administrative, we have to vote again, but.
Yeah.
So I just want to repeat the motion. The motion is to continue this application for you to come back with a different solution of how to support that landing, not having a 2-story, column, vertical column.
The repairs are currently a safety hazard. So I'm wondering if we could separate that out.
Yes, it's separated already.
Okay.
You just have to vote on them later. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have a second?
Second.
So we'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Michael Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richmond? Wen?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
To 112 Mount Vernon Street.
That is, I believe, Megan.
Oh, yes, it's at 14 Beacon Street. Is that what was said? I'm sorry.
Yes, 14 Beacon Street.
Okay, great. Scott Winkler is here from Westling Architects. Scott, did you wanna speak?
Either way, yes, hi. Sure, what we're looking for is essentially an extension of our existing approval to complete the work that's been ongoing for a while. We've actually completed most of the window work. There's a few windows left to be restored. And we have, the only thing that's really not complete at this point is the masonry restoration. We haven't started that work yet, so we're still planning to do that masonry restoration following the same procedures we had reviewed and gotten approval on in the past. Just want an extension of time to complete that work.
Okay.
And I believe, yep.
Do you have anything else to add?
I'm just looking at the list. I think the only other thing that's not done is the storm windows on the outside, the restored windows. We haven't done that work yet either. And we're not sure we're going to, but we'd like to have the option.
Do you have anything else?
I think that's it. Hopefully everyone's seen the restored windows on the front. We've replicated a lot of leaded glass. I think it looks pretty good. And we're actually finishing the large windows on the south side, right, starting next week. We're looking forward to getting that work done.
Yeah, I think it's going to look great. We thank you for the work. So I'll open it to public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or tap your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press number 9 to raise your hand. You can send your question to staff via email at beaconfieldac@boston.com or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BHJune18Hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Okay, Rochelle Gewirtz, you can go ahead.
So before I state our comment from Beacon Hill Civic Association, can someone clarify whether the rooftop mechanical additions are a part of this application?
It's our understanding that was submitted. It was reviewed by staff. We did a mock-up 2 years ago. and it was determined that they would not be visible from the public way, and so it was approved, or the need to come into the hearing was, we didn't have to come in the original hearing. So those are actually not installed yet, but we're still planning the same equipment there as well.
Okay, so our comment was about the mechanical and requesting a mock-up if it was visible. But since you've done that, then that's great. And our second question is about the windows. On the application from May 2018, there was like a statement saying that there were interior storms. And on this June 2020 application, they now say they're on the exterior. So if you could clarify what the storm windows would be.
Actually, they have been detailed as interior storms, and I believe we've installed a couple of those. I did notice it says exterior, but that wasn't the intent.
Okay. Then Beacon Hill Civic Association does not object to the application. And that's the end of our comment.
Any other comment?
I don't see any other hands raised.
And there are no comments on email.
Okay, and Nick, would you like your comment?
Staff sees no issue with the existing plans as originally approved and recommends approval as submitted.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we discussed this a long time before, and in general, you know, there were some reservations about having aluminum as a window and not wood. But you provided an obvious justification and we bought it. So I also don't see any reason to undo the approval. And you know, we appreciate that you came back to get the extension. I think that's a good way to handle the continued restoration of this important building. Do you have any other comments from the commission? Do we have a motion? I can do the motion. We do the motion to approve as submitted and to have the extension for another 2 years. No?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so we take a vote. Aaron Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal?
Aye.
Wen?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan and Scott.
Thank you. Okay.
Now we move to 2 Beaver Street.
Alan, is he here? Patty or Alan?
Hi, Nick. I'm here, but I don't. I thought I was on. Oh, there he is.
Okay.
What happened to?
What happened to Mount Vernon Street?
The Mount Vernon Street application, was that?
Oh, is that still there?
That's not.
Okay, let's do 112 Mount Vernon Street.
Oh, sorry, Alan.
Drat.
Is 112 Mount Vernon Street here?
Yeah, 112 Mount Vernon Street.
Michael? I mean.
Okay, so let's go back to 2 Beaver Street then.
Oh, look, he walked away.
Okay.
Nick, I'll reach out to him.
Okay. There, I see him in the background. There he is.
Okay, you're on.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. So the property is located on the corner of Beaver Street and Beaver Place. Beaver Place is a private way. And if you could just flip through the photos of the Graham Gund addition on top of the carriage house, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. Just keep flipping. Keep going. Continue. Okay, so we came to you about a month ago for just to review what we wanted to accomplish. And what we're looking to do is to put a gate in the existing wall. There's already one there. And this is these are drawings from 1941, where there was an approved design for this. You can move forward, Nick. Mm-hmm. And this was just enlarged of what that had been. And there was, at the time, they were going to infill the garage door bays with windows. And we came to you for advice and hopefully took your cues. Continue. So we would be removing the existing garage doors. We'd be removing the infill of the garage, of the previous infill of the garage door. We would be creating a new wall in the garden wall. And then there are three windows on the side. One is bricked over. We would be unbricking that. We would take the other two out so that all three will match. Next. This is the existing sort of demolition proposal. And again, it's showing the gates, the brick wall, and the garage door. Next. And then the three windows, one of which is bricked over. Next. And what we would be putting in place is a garden gate in the garden wall. And then for the two garage doors, rather than put in the windows, we were going to put an actual garage door with a transom over it, in keeping with a lot of the other properties in the area, and then build a wall within so that from the outside it would be a real true garage door that could open, but there wouldn't be any space behind it. And then the three windows would be replaced and side. Next. And here is an elevation of proposed garage doors, proposed garden wall. We would be keeping the cap, the wall, the garden wall has a copper cap, which we would continue across the top, keep across the top of the gate. And the gate was going to be a very simple, flat, tongue and groove panels with a letterbox and light and a whole bunch of, particulars, which we've attached. And then the garage doors themselves would be traditional wood garage doors. The transoms above would be single pane, true divided light, in keeping with the garage doors in the area. And again, behind that is where we would create our vapor and temperature barrier within. Next.
Alan, do you want to talk about the sill on those two windows?
Yes. So the if you'll notice on this drawing, there's two different sill heights, and that's kind of existing right now. The garage on the door on the left is an actual garage door, and there's a curb cut, and that goes down to the ground. And we are proposing in this, although we're open to your recommendations, we're proposing that we would keep the existing brick sill on the right and just infill it, partly because the sidewalk, there's no curb cut there, and the sidewalk slants, as you can see in this and in photos if you look at it. But if there's a strong, opinion that we should, take out that sill and bring the garage door down to the sidewalk, we're happy to do that too.
The garage door is not going to open anymore.
They're not going to open, but they will be, like true garage doors with hinges and hardware so that in theory you could open them. It's just that if you open them, there would be a wall right behind it.
Okay, but for your future use, it's not going to be a garage.
It will not be a garage.
Okay.
And then these are the three side windows, and we're proposing a Marvin double hung window with divided lights, and they have a integral removable storm within them so that it's single glazed and the divided lights are single. And then there would be, we would be replacing the existing grates with grates that were the same, except that they were operable so that in case of fire, one could get out. That's what the little white squares is. It's the latch mechanism. And so those would be hinged instead of a fire hazard. Next.
And do you want to talk about the vent on the roof?
Oh, yeah. So if you, over there, there's a, so we're leaving the existing chimney flue. And then we're proposing a gas, a fireplace vent there and a exhaust hood, which you see just below your arrow, Nick. It would be a copper exhaust hood for the kitchen. And you can see them better here. And so this is on Beaver Place.
And you know, in the application that we reviewed, there were a couple of options for the door handles and lights. Can you clarify what you're proposing?
So we're, what I have here is what we're asking for, and we included alternates in case you preferred one of the alternates, just so that, like, you know, this is, so I'm, this little presentation here, I've removed all the plan B, option C, you know, third choice for a handle. So we're just going to go through what we're asking for, and then you have in your packages, like, if you like something else, if, you know, if you don't want black and you want Essex green, just we are here to help.
Okay.
This is just the that was just the detail of the way the garage door would be sitting relative to an interior wall. And then this is just, if you turn your head sideways, this is the section through the garden gate. And again, the cap on top is the existing, we are keeping the cap, the copper cap, making sure it spans. And then these are just the reference images of the type of garage door and transom with a very simple flat face and the transom above. And you can flip through the pictures, Nick.
East.
And then this is just there's a granite, there'd be a granite sill at the garden gate. And so it's a Peterborough marble and granite natural age granite for that, just at the gate as a transition from the sidewalk. And this is a very basic drawing from the garage door company, because they would also, we'd have the garage door company build the garden gate. So it's just the V groove and in Sapele, next, painted black. This is the handle set that we are proposing. And again, there are alternatives that we included within that. The lever would be on the inside, the handle part would be on the outside. And one thing, if we continue to the next, Nick. So what we are looking for is a way of answering the door remotely. There is a, and this is the sort of the, this was the least obtrusive remote keypad intercom camera. And this goes into basically just a deadbolt hole. So if at any point someone wants to take this off and just put a traditional deadbolt on, there's no There's no larger hole or damage or anything to the actual door. This is just a piece that goes right into a regular cylinder for a deadbolt. Next, larger picture of same. And then we have a very exciting letterbox. Next, oil rub bronze. And then we have numbers for number two for the thing. And then this would be the light fixture, which we need near the door. And we would do this in black. And this is the shop drawing for the garage door. And I'll just point out that the company that made the shop drawings got the transom incorrect. It would be thin. There would not be a thick frame around it. It would be a thin frame like the way we drew it in our exterior elevations. And these would be the poles that would be on the garage doors. That's just a drawing of the pole. And then this is just to show the butt hinge installation. So we would have butt hinges, we would not have strap hinges. And that's obviously not the garage door, but please just look at the hinge. That's what that photo is representing. And black is the color that we're proposing. But again, if there's a request for Essex green or some other, let us know. Here is the fan, the kitchen exhaust hood, which would be in copper.
How about the other kind of chimney? You had something else?
That is in, Nick, if you can open, it's in the material specifications.
On the other presentation?
On the, yeah, the full set that I sent you. It's one thing that it's at the very end.
You know what page?
It's like the last three pages, but it's under the specification. So keep going. Ah, there we go. Up, go back up. Sorry, keep going up a little more. A little more. Keep going. Those are alternates, in case you didn't like anything. Ah, there we go. So if this is the, that's the adjustable pipe. And then the cap is, I guess, the next page down. That's
this one here.
Flashing. And then that's the storm collar.
This one here.
And that's the termination cap, yes.
Okay, and you're proposing that to be galvanized?
That would be painted black, or if you want us to try to do it in copper, we can try to do it in copper.
Okay, do you have anything else?
I think that covers it as quickly as I can to give you as much time as you have for questions.
Okay, we're going to open it to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat, the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH June 18 hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Okay, we have a hand raised from Rochelle Gerrits. Rochelle, you can go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Beacon Hill Civic Association,
We do not object to the simulated carriage door infill in the left-handed archway, but would prefer to not unbrick the right archway because the simulated door has a chopped bottom appearance due to conflict with the raised sill. We recommend considering alternate solutions that to introducing fenestration, such as the April 2020 advisory review proposal of replicating a 1941 permitted window in the right bricked in archway. We oppose the new opening in the existing masonry wall for the garden door and recommend that the entrance into the building be kept through the left carriage door by including a cutout door within it. No objection to changes to the three windows on Beaver Place. It should be noted that guideline 87 states that new openings and facades shall not be allowed and no changes shall be made to existing window and door openings unless they involve restoration of original features for which there is supporting documentation of the original feature. It should also be noted that guideline A4 states that all architectural changes shall be appropriate either to the original style of the building if it has not been significantly altered, or to its altered style if it has been significantly altered to reflect characteristics of a later style. New gas fireplace vent cap should be relocated to where it is no longer visible from a public way, which is Brimmer Street. As per guideline D9, that includes reference to mechanical electrical installation. Recommend denial to all proposed light fixtures, intercom, and door hardware as they are too modern. Applicant should return with more traditional products of appropriate design, size, and style that follow guidelines D5 for hardware, D6 for lighting, and D7 for buzzers and intercoms. That is the end of the comment.
Okay, any other comment?
I don't see any other hands raised, and we do like not Martha have any.
Her hand up. Sorry. Oh. Yeah. Martha McNamara, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I agree with the Beacon Hill Civic Association's assessment of the right-hand carriage door. And Nick, could you go to that image?
Sure.
I'm Martha McNamara. I'm an architectural historian. I teach historic preservation at Wellesley College. I have lived on Beacon Hill for 35 years, and I'm a former member of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission.
Let's see. Historic?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I wanted to see the whole thing. Great. So the left-hand side, you know, putting in the garage doors and the transom, I think that's fine. The problem with the right-hand side is that what you've proposed is really not in keeping with the condition of the sidewalk, right? So the sidewalk has this curb cut that extends partway into that blind arch there. So if you put carriage doors in, it reads very funny, right? Because it's clearly not a place where somebody could drive in, because the curb cut doesn't extend all the way to the other end of the arch. Instead, I agree with Civic Association that actually those 1941 drawings that were permitted, they weren't approved, obviously, because that was before the architectural district was established, but they were permitted. I thought that that was kind of a nice design solution. So they had brick up to a certain level, and then they had lights across the top. I also agree with the Civic Association that our guidelines are very strict about new openings in masonry walls. So I would strongly object to a new opening through the garden wall there. But it seems to me that you could do something in the right-hand bricked up arch now that could be a combination of door and then brick up and then transom over the top. Alternatively, what the Civic Association proposes makes good sense to me, that there be a cutout door in the carriage doors, in the garage doors on the left-hand side. Okay. And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Any other comment?
I don't see any other hands raised, and there's no mentions on Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a chat coming in from Patty Harris. Patty, you can go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention one thing. When we proposed opening up the second gate, the second bricked in area, to put a door there, when they did the second floor elevation, the Graham Gund addition, they put the staircase there, which is why it's bricked over. It used to be originally there were two garage doors there, you know, way back when this was the garage belonging to 91 Beacon Street. When they did, so right now there is the staircase from the first floor to the second floor of the house is in that place. So if you're proposing that we put the door in that place, we are going to have to remove the staircase to the second floor of the house.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Patty.
Any other comment? Okay, so I'm going to close the public hearing, the public comment, and now we can open it to the commission. I think in general you have done a good job, you know, addressing a lot of the issues we discussed in the review. I think we maybe can take one issue at a time so it doesn't get confusing. So why we don't start with an easy one, the windows on the side.
How's that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Why we don't put the proposal? I think it's in a different one.
Is it?
Can you go back to just my presentation? It'll be easier.
Yeah, probably go back to his presentation.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on. Yeah.
Okay, good. I personally don't have any objection to opening these three windows here. I think that's going to be okay. I would suggest that we don't put the grays back. You know, that's like an old condition that we used to have in the when it wasn't very safe, but now with new windows, you don't need those grays. I think that would, you know, look much better, not so much like a prism, you know, like component. In terms of the window, you have a strange kind of storm in front of the window, which do you plan to keep or you want to take out?
We have a few options. We can do a double pane window. Our understanding is
that would be better. Because
our understanding was that this was approved. This is a window that you guys approved.
When the windows were stored, but this window is completely new, so you can do, you know, a double pane without, you know, without a storm.
Okay, we have one of the drawings. Nick has the Pella, historically accurate one with just a double pane window that you guys have approved in the past. We thought this was preferable to you.
With the Pella, you have to just make sure that it's true by the light, because a lot of the Pella product is not true by the light. So do you have any comments from the other commissioners about these three windows? I mean, just go one by one, because I think otherwise it gets rather confusing. So any comments about the windows?
No.
Okay. Let's go to the garage doors. I think the garage doors in general are okay. They are in keeping with other garage doors in the area, you know, the style. This used to be some kind of garage in the past. I don't know what exactly it was, but, you know, the shape is consistent. I think for me, the main issue is the issue of the bottom part. And because, you know, you get this condition that one is shorter and one is lower. And I just wondered if you could find a way that, you know, you could equalize it more, you know, between the two of them. Perhaps, you know, you keep the bottom part of the grooving system at the same level and then you put a darker piece in the bottom. Something that doesn't look, you know, so dissimilar between each other, because they're almost the same, but not the same.
And we're also, one thing we could easily do is we could also remove the brick sill, and we could put a, you know, we could put a granite threshold for both of them so that they are both identical.
Yeah, I think that would look more harmonious. Yeah.
And then and I think we had an alternative in our drawing, knowing that this was something which we looked at it and we thought, well, it looks a little funny, but we're maintaining the opening, you know, or do we take out the sill and just put like a granite, a lower granite sill and make them more the same? So we are happy to do that.
This is a building that has been considerably altered. It's not the original building at all. So I think in this case, we can be more flexible about openings and other things because the building has been completely altered. So I think for the benefit of the building, the architectural solution becomes, you know, more important in my opinion than trying to keep the opening. If the other computers feel the same way.
Can we see that image? I think it's those 54 or 55 that has it, you know, kind of per the Civic Association and Martha's preference. I mean, more of like, you know, with call it like a waist high brick threshold and do it as more of like a big kind of window versus a secondary garage door. Because again, it is that curb cut does go in the middle of that right hand door, not totally the middle, but it does go well into that. And so it is a little bit awkward that way. And I don't think you're going to change that.
If they would like, you know, just put a granite seal to equalize them, probably that would.
Yeah, granite. If we had a short seal.
You know, what the owner says that they cannot open windows this size because they have the stair behind.
Right.
Well, they're faux either way, though, right? I mean, these are, whether it's a.
Well, the windows are not.
No, these were supposed to be windows.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, I like the granite solution, you know, to
equalize it.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay.
I have a question about the kind of like the elevation, if you could go back to the elevation, I think page 57. So I'm not sure how much it drops. So I'm just, I guess my concern is if you do a granite sill and then you try to keep it at the same height, it's gonna look very tall on the left-hand side, depending on what the elevational change is.
I think that what they could do is, you see the location of the brick here in the on the right-hand side? They could keep that same height with the brick insert on both sides and then start the doors equal on both sides. So the two doors would be equal. It's not a lot of, I mean, it's only a few inches. Right. He had to prepare a drawing, you know, for the staff to review it. But I think there's a good solution there that we can get.
This is Matt, sorry. Patrick, are you able to make, if you use granite, are you able to make them exactly the same height or are they gonna be a little bit off still?
We would make them the same. If we used the granite sill, we would put a granite sill for both and the doors would be identical.
I mean, I personally have no issue with them being different. You have these quirky details happen all the time and you're really just working around the curb cut. I mean, could the curb cut change? So you could just have the same door situation on both sides? If not, I think again, it's a little fussy and probably expensive to buy granite sills. I think it's a fine solution just having the two doors that aren't the same condition at the base. If you paint them black, it's really gonna not be apparent that those doors are sort of different. Speaking from an architectural point of view.
I'd agree with that.
And, you know, I think it's just a solution to a certain condition that we're dealing with at the site. And I don't think anyone's really going to focus on it except those on this call that know that it's happening. Overall, I think we're going step by step. So I'll just focus on this for now.
Let's go back to the drawing of the garage doors, please. The proposal.
Um, This one?
One question I have here is, you know, traditionally, this dimension will continue across. You know, that's how it was drawn in the shop drawing. I think that will also probably look better, you know, more appropriate than bringing the glass all the way to the end.
What were the reference images look like? Whatever the reference images we say.
Yeah, I mean, if you could maybe make this dimension equal and go across, because right now you have three different dimensions. You have, you know, the one in the bottom, the one on top, and then the one around the windows. And if you could unify it, I think that would also look better.
Are you talking about just the frame of the glass?
Yes, the frame.
Nick, can you go to the reference?
That was in the shop drawing.
Yeah, but if you can go to the reference images, which of the garage doors, the garage doors, we had a series of garage doors.
The proposed ones?
No, the reference images for the garage doors.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Like, this is what we were trying to make it look like. So we found there it was a very, like the top one had a very skinny piece around the perimeter. It wasn't a bulky, it wasn't as bulky as the shop drawings.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about, you don't have to do it exactly the same, but I think the top should be consistent. You know, you have two different sizes.
The frame itself is the same. It's just the extra line is not the frame, but it's the, so like in this drawing, Nick, where you've got your, can I, hold on a second. Let me do that.
Is your drawing not drawn correctly then?
No, our drawing, it's just what you're focusing on, the line of the, that's not the frame of the door, but it's the door itself. There's the style and rail of the door versus the frame. The frame of the door, like in the green picture, the white is the frame of the door, and that's consistent.
Okay.
And the glazing is tight to it, but if you look at the door in the green section, the style and rail of the door itself is wide. But that's not the frame of the door, that's just the style and rail of the door.
So do you have a frame in this case or not?
There's a frame. If you go back to our drawing, there is a thin line, and if the detail shows a jamb and a frame, which is consistent, and then it's what you're seeing is the thick line.
The frame is consistent all the way to the top.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's just that the style and rail, and all of that is going to be painted black, so you're not going to see that fat line in reality. That fat line is just the style and rail of the garage door itself.
Okay. I have a question to the commission. What do you think about the black with the rest of the building if it stays the same?
I think I like the black. This is Matt. Since it's sort of a new architectural addition, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought on this. I personally, after seeing all the black carriage doors that was in the precedent images in this presentation, I like that approach. I don't think it has to match what's happening above. It actually distinguishes itself from the postmodern second story. That's okay. My thought.
Yeah.
One question I have is, are you going to keep the same colors?
The upper floor?
Yeah.
We're currently planning on leaving that the colors that they are.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on that. I think the black is nice. I mean, I think it accomplishes a lot of some of the other stuff we were talking about previously, but it's a good contrast between sort of the original.
And it ties into the, you know, the building next door and the wall and the door that's already in the wall that's black.
I think the black doors are fine. I'm just trying to think if that's a good combination with the top. But it's okay. I mean, that, you know, the color is matter of taste. So if the applicant wants to keep the colors, it's okay.
Alan, what color are the detailing on the Graham Gunn edition? Is that, it almost looks green.
It's green. It's like a green lattice and a terracotta. Okay. And I don't know whether originally it was Hunter Green and Fire Engine Red, but you know.
Yeah.
Is anyone on the commission leaning towards Essex Green?
No, I think the garage doors are fine. You know, if that's the tradition, the garage doors are mostly black in Beacon Hill. I'm just wondering if, you know, if any improvement could be done to this coloration. There's going to be a lot of black, and I don't know if it's going to look too disjointed, but, you know, if they want to keep the color, I think that should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a part of it should be disjointed, you know, in some respects, right? I mean, it's
okay.
Clearly two different eras there.
So, can we look at the elevation? I still find this funny condition. I mean, are you willing to do a granite seal?
Patty, will you speak up for that?
Yep, hear him. Well,
can I make one observation? This is Perry Harris. On the right-hand door, you'll notice that there is a sill of brick below the doors, okay? If we took that sill out and we put, you know, whatever the base is, that gets so close to the bottom of the doors, that if we extended the door down to that level, you know, are the doors, they're within probably an inch or two. Is that sort of a middle ground? People mentioned about, you know, do we really have to go down? I'm worried about digging into the elevation on the right-hand side of the right door, where you get, you know what I mean? You're getting sort of digging down now to get a straight elevation. My question is, can we just take that brick layer out? That brings us down a couple of inches, and we get awful close, you know, on the gentleman's earlier observation about, you know, there's some quirky things, but that's awfully close.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to remove that and bring the door all the way down, I think that's also is okay. You could just adjust the bottom part of these so, you know, they look more equal, but it'll be just a few inches. So you could take the difference in the bottom part. Maybe that's a good solution.
And then I mean, those doors get awful close when we take that level out.
Yep. Okay, just match it. Do you agree with that? Any comments from the commission about that?
Fine with that.
This is Alice Richmond. I don't know. I would be concerned about the same thing. I mean, in a sense, once they're painted black, you know, this is the elevation, of course, is important, but the only place you see this is on the other side of the street. I mean, you would have to be standing next to this apartment building on this very narrow street to be able to see that. So I think that whatever is the best for the structural integrity of the building ought to be done.
Okay.
I kind of agree with that. I think looking at this, it would be, if you bring it really close to the sidewalk where you could see the curb cut, it feels somewhat unnatural that, you know, the lines are so close. And I would also agree with some of the earlier comments about, like, there it's a different condition at the curb, so perhaps it's better to just keep them different instead of trying to make them the same.
Okay, let's move to a different topic. Let's look at the door, the extra door.
So that the behind that is green space, it's courtyard?
Yes.
In general, you know, we would never approve a new door on a brick facade. However, this building has been altered so much that I don't have an opposition to opening the door. I don't know how the other commissioners feel about it.
I'm with you. I don't have an issue with it. I think, you know, technically, that's a garden wall. That's not the facade of the building. It's, you know, facade is a building. This is at the wall. I mean, the guidelines are clear on new openings in facades. I, you know, again, I mean, maybe it's semantics, but I also feel like, to your point, given the massive changes that this building has gone through with the Gund addition, that it falls into, you know, and especially now that we know behind the left door is a staircase within the property that makes it impossible to put a door there, I'm fine with it, especially, and with the neighbor's door to the right, I don't have any issue with the door.
This is Matt. About the door?
This is Matt. I think it's a nice solution, and it takes you into a really nice intimate space. So when you exit the street and you come into that little courtyard, I mean, I have no issue cutting into that space. I just want to make sure that the brick is, we're sensitive to the brick and how it returns. I don't want to have to see that there's, you know, I'm guessing since you're cutting the hole, you're going to be reusing the brick that you're cutting the hole from. So there's going to be replaced in kind, and the mortar is going to match and everything. So as long as it looks cohesive, I think it's a pretty nice solution, and it mirrors the other door, and it takes you into a pretty unique little courtyard. So I think it's nice.
Okay, any other comments about the door?
Well, my only issue with the door is that if we were to allow this new opening, granted we see that there are extenuating circumstances, but if we were to grant this, wouldn't this invite other people to come and say, hey, just like that property, I want to do a new door? And so now we're setting a precedent where other people are going to think, well, it's been done before. I just think that's something that we should think about.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. Again, I think that given the full context of this property with the fact that it's already been altered significantly with the postmodern addition, and again, and people feel free to disagree, but if you look up the definition of facade, it's the front of a building. Okay, and the guideline states you can't do new masonry openings in facades, but garden walls, we've routinely let people open up for garage doors, and I know there's some other commissioners who don't agree with that, you know, of late, and that's fine, but to me, this is not a facade. This is a garden wall, and there's nothing specific in the guidelines about that.
I mean, I think it is a point, and some people might use that as an excuse to try to do more openings, but I think this is a especially unique case. There is nothing like this anywhere in the district. You know, it was altered in the 1980s, and it's completely different from anything else in the district. And so that's why I'm leaning to feel like, because it's a unique case, this solution could work in this, you know, in this location. But that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's going to come and start opening holes and doors and windows in, you know, 1800 buildings, you know? So I think if we do a motion to approve, we have to make it very specific that this is only for this case because of the situation, you know, where we are. But I think it's a good point that we have to be careful.
Miguel, I'll just add from an administrative perspective that all applications are reviewed on a case-by-case basis, and technically we shouldn't be taking other projects into consideration when we're doing that. So just something to think about when you're making your decision.
Okay. One question I have for the commission. Do you think the door is too garden-like? No, I'm just wondering if, you know, this could be a little bit more similar to the garage door and have a frame or something, so it doesn't look so utilitarian, because that's going to be their main door. Do you have any opinion about that?
Was there a picture of it?
I think there is a picture of it, the details.
Precedent or?
And I'll say we did this very plain door because that was the feedback we got the last time we came here, was that like as simple a garden door as we could do. We came up with the simplest one we could.
I think it would, you know, if painted black, I think it would be really nice. If other commissioners think the frame should be thicker to match the carriage house doors, I'd be okay with that too, but I'm all right with what's proposed.
And
I think it'll be a little more, you know, it will look a little bit more like a main door because it's going to be their main door. If, you know, you could match the two of these frames. You will dress it up just a little bit, and it's the same, you know, the group system, the same dimension. So it will, I think it will match better. That's my opinion. Let's look at other comments about the door. So we move on to something else.
Yeah, can you just repeat what you said, the last comment you made about that door? You would like it to see more match the neighbor's door?
No, to match this one.
Yeah.
So right. Frame.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, just had
a frame. You're saying put a style and rail around it.
Yes.
It delineates well which goes with which property, I feel like, the way it's currently proposed.
Yes. No, I don't want to match this at all. Okay, let's look at some of the details of the door. I didn't have any comments on that. Do you have any comments on the handle? Seems okay. This contraption here, where does that go? Where does this go?
That goes just over the handle. So that's where the deadbolt would normally go.
Okay.
And it just fits into a deadbolt hole.
How big
is it? That will allow them to, because part of the problem is like, if it's raining and somebody comes to ring your doorbell, since this is the door, you know, we don't want people to be able to come into the courtyard unsupervised. And so this allows, this is like the smallest, you know, thing that we could find that would allow to lock and unlock remotely with the camera and security.
It doesn't light up, correct? Like it's not lit.
Mayor, can I ask a question? Is this the only entrance now into this residence?
Yes.
Yes. There currently actually isn't an entrance into the residence, which is kind of amazing. Currently, the only way into the residence is like through the garage, which is illegal. So we currently don't have even a single means of egress.
I feel like we just approved intercom similar to this, as long as it was in wood and not in masonry.
Right.
So do we have a cut sheet on it? What is it? It looks like it's like roughly 8x4. Not even. 7.5x3.
7.5x3.
Okay. Well, what would you do? Put a wooden thing, a box or something over it?
No, this would just go into the wood door. So basically, this gets where you would normally put a cylinder lock, the deadbolt lock over the handle.
Yeah.
You actually bore the same, you cut the same hole for a deadbolt lock, and this has the lock mechanism in it and just fits into it. So it is always
removed. Is it flush?
I think it's fine. This is Alice Richmond, but I think it is bigger than a deadbolt lock. I mean, it is more obvious, but I think it's fine because, you know, we live in 2020 and you need to have security, and I agree with that. But I think it would not be correct to describe it as a deadbolt lock, which tends to be quite a bit smaller and at least horizontal. At least those are the ones I know about.
I was saying that the hole that is cut in the door for the deadbolt lock is what this uses. I'm not saying that this is the same size as the deadbolt. I'm just saying the hole in the door.
So well, I don't have any objection to this. Okay. I think
I have a question. Is this flush?
No, it's, what's the dimension, Nick? There's a third dimension. Outer unit is, so it's 0.94 inches deep.
Could you make it flush?
To make it flush, we'd have to cut a bigger hole in the door and have to kind of build the door around it. Because I think it works like...
The issue with that is later on, if there's another piece of technology that comes around, it's a different size, then now you have a hole in your door that's an odd shape. I think it's better to be surface applied And I've looked at these devices, and this is probably your best option for this intercom lock system. Okay. That's my opinion.
It is very modern, but it's okay. Where do the number goes?
Is that on the elevation? I think it's on the door. No, we didn't call it out. I would put it on the door, but if you want it someplace else, that's fine.
No, the door is okay. You should show it in the drawing, you know, what it is. And what size is the number? What height?
It is.
Alan, I think it was 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches high.
One of those. You want to tell us how high you want it to be?
I would say like 2 inches should be okay. If the numbers are too big, they start to look very modern, you know, very big numbers. Yeah. And what material is it? Will it be like on lacquered brass or something?
Yeah, this is an unlacquered brass.
Okay. And then the light, I didn't have any issue with the light. I think it looks okay. It looks appropriate. You have some modern lights that were really not in keeping.
Those were backups in case you didn't like this one.
I think this one is pretty good.
Yes.
Do you have any other comments about the lights or the numbers?
The letter box, letter slot?
That's very standard. No problem then. Is that like 12, like 14 inches long?
It's Baldwin standard item. For whatever reason, that didn't print.
Okay, I mean, it's not too big. I think you draw it, it looks okay in the elevation.
Yeah.
If it's drawn correctly, it's okay.
Correct.
Do you have any other comments about the details, like the lighting, the numbers, the handle? Okay, let's move to the mechanical equipment.
You're talking about the stuff on the roof?
Yes.
Okay.
What he's proposing.
Is that? Alan, where is that?
That should be in the first grouping of exterior elevation. So right after the photograph. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
This detail is very utilitarian and appropriate. Could you find something better? You know, I mean, could you maybe do it in copper or
different
top or something? It just looks very out of place.
We are happy to do it in copper. We're happy to do it if there's a fireplace vent that's been approved before, we're more than happy to use it.
It's just very utilitarian.
And one of the questions I had is, is this even visible from because this is Beaver Place.
Well, if it's not visible, then we don't have jurisdiction. Right. So we could put in the motion that it has to be verified that it's visible, and you could do a mock-up just to see the height.
But we're also very happy, I think I speak for Patty and Perry.
Well, my opinion will look better, will age better. And then the top, you can find a different solution for the top.
Absolutely.
Because it just looks like a factory, you know?
Yep.
Briefly, this is Perry. on a previous property, we did custom copper outlets on the top of our house. We are perfectly happy to match the chimney or, you know, other pieces that, you know, are appropriate. But our interest is making it custom copper that it blends into the environment.
Yeah, so if you could maybe match the chimney, that would be better. And this little one in copper, I think, is work okay. And then, you know, everything matches, so.
Yeah, and the chimney's in copper now, I believe.
Going for that. Is that it? Did we cover everything?
Miguel, do you want to talk about the window grates? Did you talk about that? You're okay with them?
Oh, I said we should remove them. Yeah. Is that was your comment too, no, Nick? What was your comment?
Yeah, I don't think they're necessary.
And it make it look like a prison, and they would just have less light inside. You know, they already have not a lot of light. It'd be better to be just a, you know, double pane window with no storm, no waves.
What's the space behind that again?
Those are bedrooms.
Okay.
Okay. Is anything else we have to cover? I think we covered everything, no?
I believe that's it, yeah.
Okay, so I'll, do you want me to do the motion or somebody wants to do the motion?
Go for it.
Okay, so we do a motion to approve the application as submitted with the following provisos. In terms of the three windows that you have on the side, you need to remove the grates and you need to remove the storms and just do a double pane and true divided light window. In terms of the two garage doors are approved as submitted in black. No comment there. In terms of the garden door, just the location of the door is okay. Just put a frame on the door that matches, you know, the other garage doors. In black is okay. You have to submit a drawing for that door, because that'd be something different.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Yes. This is Alice Richmond. Is the staff requiring them to remove the grates on those three windows?
No, I'm not requiring it. They're just recommending it, and we agree with that.
I'm sorry, who's recommending it?
The staff make a comment that they will, that would be the recommendation, and I agree with that.
Whose recommendation? That's the staff?
It's the staff.
It's me. Staff's recommendation, correct.
What do they do security there?
Along with that, Vaught, what's the staff recommendations on the door?
On which door?
The garage door. Or the garden door.
The garden door, I would agree with what Miguel is making a motion on. It's actually in my staff comments. I just, I agree with him in regards to the frame. And then the garage doors, exactly as Miguel mentioned.
Can I just ask about the windows? Because I guess I didn't hear that before. You know, those are seem to me to be very vulnerable windows. They're just so we are requiring them to remove the grates because.
Well, those grates are not original. You know, make it look like a prison, and the applicant is okay to remove them.
Applicant is okay to remove them. I'm sorry.
Yes. And they're going to do double pane windows, which are, you know.
The pin is okay. I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let's continue. Then the handle is okay. The light is okay. The number is okay. The remote control is okay. I think that you should also submit a drawing that shows all the pieces together, because you were missing some things. You know, where the number goes, and the number should be, you know, 2 inches. And just complete that drawing because something was missing there. In terms of the gas fire paint, it's okay to provide it where it is. Just make it in copper and make a solution that relates more to the existing chimney flue and matches the material of the other copper that you want to. And the letter, you know, the mail access is okay also. Did I miss anything? Do you have any comments on the commission?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so we'll take a vote. Was it clear to the applicant, everything?
Yes.
Okay, we just have to make sure.
This is Perry. I'd like to ask one question on the side windows and the grates. So an earlier person made a comment about the low level of the glass there, the vulnerability of the glass. What is our options as far as, you know, getting some sort of security at that ground level on those windows?
I think if you do a double pane window, it's very strong. You cannot really break through that.
You know, so could we do impact glass on those windows?
As long as they're the true divided lights that the commission is recommending.
Okay.
And I have to remind you, Beacon Hill is one of the safest neighborhoods in Boston. We don't really have people breaking into windows. It's not the case here.
Understood.
There's also most security systems have like a glass break option too. Like we have windows like that are pretty exposed, and it's like a, you know, sensor for that, just for what it's worth. You know, I understand the security concerns.
Understood. I mean, thank you guys for the comment.
Yeah, I think security concerns are real. And I think you could deal with them with an alarm, but I don't agree that they are not vulnerable or that people don't try to break them.
Agreed.
So I think they are places where you have to be careful, I think.
Okay. Any other comment?
Commissioners, before you vote, there's a couple more public comments that came in. David Thibodeau, you're raising your hand. Would you like to say something?
I think that's Charlotte.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, I think we already closed the public comment.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll have to proceed with the vote. So, Aaron Allen.
Yay.
Daniel Santos.
Aye.
Peter Weinberg.
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal.
Aye.
Alice Richmond.
Aye.
Wen Wen.
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you very much. And I think it's going to be a very nice restoration, and you know, I'm glad that you're taking on the project. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now we move to 131 Cambridge Street.
Miguel, do we want to see if the 112 is here yet?
Oh, yeah. Do we have 112, Mount Vernon?
Okay.
Okay. 131 Cambridge Street?
Yes, here.
Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Doug Manley. I'm a project architect with Spencer Sullivan and Vogt. We're doing the restoration of the Old West Church, 131 Cambridge Street. I noticed I have along with me Old West Church's pastor, Reverend Sarah Gerard. I have also Elsa Bengel is here. And Elsa, is anyone else I haven't mentioned? Please introduce them. But,
No one else.
Okay. So the church received a Community Preservation Committee grant of $400,000 in this latest round. So for the first time in a long time, we're able to erect staging for the front of the front facade, the 131 Cambridge Street facade, and do a restoration of deteriorated and worn materials, and looking at repairs and a restoration, not really adding anything new to it. As I go through, there are a couple of features I'd like to point out as we do that, but it's basically addressing everything that's painted on the building. We'll be doing preparation, scraping, painting of wood elements and metal elements. We'll be repointing some of the masonry. We'll be doing a window restoration. the existing windows, just using the existing windows, re-puttying and restoring existing features. We're not sure how much of our ambitious project we can do. So we've structured a number of alternates to help us in bidding and getting where we need to be price-wise. So if what we'll talk about here is everything we'd like to do if our budget allows us. And that includes things like restoration of the weather vane, adding new cold leaf at the weather vane, the clock faces, we would restore those, adding gold leaf to the numerals and the hands. We would look at doing more windows away from the front facade, moving along the major windows along the nave as an ad alternate should our budget allow. But so you know, all of those are.
We can give you an approval for all the components, and if you need to change something, you can always come back.
Okay. Good. So, Nick, could you show me the next slide, please? So just as a refresher to everyone, of course, knows the building well, built in 1806, designed by Asher Benjamin, one of the important landmarks of the new nation in early 1800s, in the early federal style, along with the things that Bullfinch was doing in the city. We're going to, as I said, we're staged the entire front facade, which will allow us for the first time in many years to get our hands on components, assess more closely condition. Where wooden elements are deteriorated, we'll be replacing with new South American mahogany replacement pieces. All new wood will be back primed and primed and finish coat painted. The paint color that we're looking to use is a sort of an off-white that was determined quite a while back when Historic New England did paint analysis of the building. So we're sticking with that same scheme. As the presentation moves on, I'll show you that color, which is what we've used for the restored window sashes. Next one, Nick. So give you a general idea of the condition of the building as we get closer to it. You'll see a turn metal cornice, which is has some serious deterioration, as you're showing rusting through the paint finish there. So we hope to wire brush clean all of the surface rust, repair any of the deeper metal holes and deterioration, and then prime and paint everything that's a painted element in the building. Next. As we look down here, closer detail for those who haven't seen the building lately, the condition that we're looking at. So getting all the loose paint off. This what we're seeing here is one change that we're proposing is the banding inset on the pilasters and at window lintels and sills, there are actually marble that has been painted over the years. So we're proposing to strip the paint from those, returning it back to the original white marble that's there behind it. So we think the painting is kind of an ill-advised restoration piece that was done in the past. And so we'd like to reverse that and return to the original marble. Window sashes will be restored, will be taken out, taken to a shop. Putty will be removed and re-puttied, and any deteriorated wood will be replaced to restore the sash. It's a similar to a recent project that we finished last year that was funded through the Mass Historic Commission. Nick, it's kind of a general conditions that we anticipate as we get close to the building. I have found in my career that when you get staging up and get closer to the building, they never get better looking, and they are always worse than what you anticipate. But so we hope to be there with hands on the building, on safely on staging for the first time in many years. Again, some of the general conditions of that we hope to restore in kind. This is an example of the window restoration that was recently done through the project funded through the Mass Historic Commission. On the left, that's a general condition we see now of the windows before. The window on the right is one of the restored sash pieces. So, and that's the color that we'll be proposing for the paint color for all of the painted elements that you see on the building.
What are you doing with the downspouts?
We're not doing anything more with those at this point. Mm-hmm. For budget reasons on that. So this is a detail, shows you the painted marble that we will be stripping the paint from that and bringing back the original marble. So it'll be a kind of an off-white, which we hope is going to be similar to the off-white paint color that we saw used. This is another, one of the ad alternates that we'd like to do is stripping paint from the ornamental plaques that are on the building. Nick, can I see the next one, please? So you'll, the center one over the center door, which is on the right in your photograph, is one that's been restored. We hope to do the same to the one that you see on the left, stripping the paint and then gold leafing the incised letters at the black.
Okay. And,
yeah, so think of it as a restoration.
Great restoration.
So
to the public comment. Is that it? Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think that's it. You know, it's a restoration that's long overdue, we think. And thankfully, we were funded through the Preservation Commission, the Community Preservation Act, and glad to move forward.
Great. Let me open to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press number 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at deaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmark with the hashtag number BH June 18 hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Rochelle Gewertz is raising her hand. Rochelle, you can go ahead and you have 2 minutes.
Beacon Hill Civic Association does not object. That's the end of our comment.
Okay. Martha McNamara also has a comment. Martha, you can go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to Old West Church for doing this work. It's such an important building, and this is going to be a fantastic restoration, so congratulations. And I'm particularly glad that you're using a preservation architect like Spencer Sullivan and Vogt. So thank you. I'm really looking forward to seeing the work.
Thank you. We're very excited, too.
Do you have any other comment?
I don't see anybody else raising their hands, and there's no mentions on Twitter.
And nothing through email.
Okay. All right, we'll close the public comment. Nicholas, Nick, do you have any comments?
Yeah, so my only concern was the paint analysis, but they've just said that Historic New England has conducted a paint analysis, so I would recommend submitting as approval, as a proof as submitted.
Okay. All right. Any comments from the commission? No. I think it's great.
Great.
So, okay, so I'll do a motion to approve as submitted. Have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we'll take a vote. Irene Allen.
Aye.
Diana Santos.
Aye.
Peter Weinberg.
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal.
Aye.
Alice Richmond.
Aye.
Wen Nguyen.
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Now we move to 112 Charles Street.
Mark, are you here?
I'm here.
There he is.
Mark Van Brocklin and Mark, we're the architects for 112 Charles Street. We are, thank you for having us this evening. We are proposing a renovation of 112 Charles Street, built in 1868, renovated in 1922 by Eleanor Raymond. There's some admin review items that are included in this presentation that I'll skip over. But the primary, the bulk of the work is on the facade. We're proposing to replace the non-historic windows at the garden level, the parlor level, the third level, and the fourth level. The second floor, there are existing wood, believed to be from 1922, triple-hung windows that we are going to restore. There are some pretty special like lavender-colored lights that we're going to maintain. We're proposing to restore the existing operable shutters on the parlor level, install metal grills at the lowest level, and some work at the entry. We'll get to that page later. So just to locate you, 112 Charles Street is on the picture on the right. It's the last of the lower buildings before the taller building on the corner of Pinckney and Charles. Here's a drawing of the elevation. In addition to the windows I mentioned, we're proposing to rebuild an existing roof deck with a new metal rail, reclad an existing head house in a dark aluminum product, remove that satellite dish. Hopefully nobody objects to that. And some work on the entry. We've got a page detailing the work at the front door and the door hardware. Here's a sight line showing the roof deck. The existing roof deck is set back about 10 or 12 feet from the front of the building. We've done a mock-up. We haven't found that it's visible from the street. Nick can speak to that later. Just some photos of the next page has photos of the existing head house and existing roof deck. Okay. So at the front entry, we're proposing to restore and repaint the existing doors, the existing fan light, the paneled surround. On the right side, you see there's sort of a raised panel that houses those, looks like some ceramic tile house numbers. We want to remove that and get back to the raised panel underneath. On the left side, there's quite a conglomeration of old doorbells and access control systems and plaques that we're going to remove, and proposing to install a simple intercom system, which you see at the bottom of this page, and that has a camera, a speaker, a card reader, and then three dedicated buttons for the units. The only thing that's lit is the three unit buzzers would be backlit. It's kind of a dim light. Replace the door hardware in kind with that Baldwin Blakesley model in unlacquered brass. Keep the brass door numbers 112 on the left operable leaf of the doors, and keep and refinish the existing letterbox.
And you're also adding a light?
Yes, at the top, we were proposing it, you go back on page, Nick, at the top, at the very top, there's no evidence of any light fixtures in this area of this building. We're proposing a small, it's a 2-inch diameter pin light. It's a gimbal, so it would be able to shine towards the door and not into the street. And that would be in the center of the arch, the head, the arched head there.
Okay. And the is you're keeping it, or what are you doing with that?
I'm sorry?
The mill slot, you're just polishing and cleaning it.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
One more note, to remove that railing, it's a square tube railing, remove it completely.
Remove it completely. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
The steps there are wooden. Repaint the steps. Sorry.
Do you have anything else?
I've got some pictures showing the condition of the windows, but if it was clear so far, I think we don't need to get into that.
Do you have the detail of the window? The drawing?
These next few pages document the conditions of the windows, showing that what we believe that only the triple hung windows are existing. All others are either aluminum or vinyl.
The drawings of the proposed windows.
We don't have details in this package.
Okay.
We're proposing all wood, Pella Architect series.
I mean, you'll have to submit those.
Mark, I think, didn't you include them in the application, but they're just not in this presentation?
That is possible.
But I just wanted to note, Mark and I had a discussion before this meeting, and he said that his client is open to the 2/2 windows. Six over six windows. Yeah. Sorry. So they can submit them anyway. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. So I'm going to open to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or tap your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press number 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH June 18 hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Okay, the first comment comes from Martha McNamara. Martha, you can go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thanks. So I have a question about replacing the windows. So Eleanor Raymond totally renovated this house 1922, 1924. She was one of the first modernist architects in North America, and she did this really interesting historicist renovation. My question is, do you have evidence of the windows that she put in there? The reason she redid it was because Charles Street was widened and the entire front facade was removed from the building. So that's when she put in the triple hung windows and the windows on all the floors. So in other words, the Eleanor Raymond drawings are at the Graduate School of Design at Harvard. So I think it would be very easy to figure out what the original windows are. And I just want to know if anybody has evidence of what the original windows are. Thanks.
I'll just add that I just used the neighboring buildings to determine that there were 6/6, but I don't have any evidence to support that.
So there's also a House Beautiful article in 1924 about this. Eleanor Raymond lived here with her lifelong partner, Ethel B. Power, who was the editor of House Beautiful, and they did an article, and I think, I can't pull it up right now, but I think that has an image of the renovated facade, so you could also just look there.
I've looked at that article. It doesn't have the front facade. It has a lot of information on the rear patio and the rear extension, but I don't recall the front elevation. But getting over to when we can, it's on our list to get to Harvard to look at these drawings.
Yeah, the Eleanor Raymond papers are extensive at Harvard in the Loeb Library, so that it would be great for you to take a look at those.
Okay. Do you have any other comment?
Yes, so the next comment comes from Rochelle Gerwitz. Rochelle, you can go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We had reviewed the application that was online that has more stuff in it than
this presentation here, but we still felt that application online appears to be incomplete. We think that more detailed drawings for removal of applied paneling, door numbers, and handrail are needed. We would prefer a traditional hanging lantern to a modern recessed light in the entry. Guideline D6 states that exterior lighting shall be in a traditional locations and the design of these fixtures shall be of an appropriate size and style. Shop drawings for proposed garden levels, windows 0A and 0B, and grills are needed as per guideline D12 for windows of H3 for ironwork. Shop drawing for the roof deck railing should also be requested. And that is the end of our comment.
Okay. Any other comment? Any email or chat comment?
No emails.
Okay, we're going to close the public comment. Nick, do you have any comments?
Yeah, staff recommends approval with the provisos that the windows are researched for the proper configuration. And my other comment was that the satellite dish comes down, but they're already agreeing to that, so that's fine.
Okay.
Nicholas, what about the window grates? You had that in your comment. What was that referring to?
Who's talking?
It's Matthew.
That was Matt.
Yeah. Question? Yeah. So it's just been brought to my attention that Martha has some solid information as far as what the window pane configuration actually was. So my thoughts were that these windows would be 6/6, considering the neighbors are 6/6. So if we have factual evidence as far as what they historically were after the 1920 reconstruction, then I'm open to that.
I think 6/6 will look good and consistent with the rest of the street and the neighbor. So I have an issue to do 6/6.
But I think it should be researched. We should find out what was there.
The public comment is closed.
I think we should research it.
Okay. So what happened with the grates? Do you have a comment about that?
Nick, when you said grates, were you talking about muttons?
Yes, the window, the pane configuration, yeah.
Pane configuration, got it.
Sorry, yeah.
So are you making windows here in the bottom?
No, those are existing openings there. You can see from the photograph. There's a brick header over two openings, and the last page shows.
Putting windows there, or what are you doing there?
They're currently windows. In the last page of the presentation, it shows a photograph from the interior. There's, can you pan down to the last page?
This one?
Yes. Yes, so we're proposing to replace these windows. Another point is to remove the oil. There's an oil filler pipe that we're going to remove.
So you're replacing the windows with what kind of window?
New wood painted windows. We'll research the configuration, but it looks to be an awning or a hopper six-light window.
Okay. But you don't have any drawings of that?
No, we don't have shop drawings. Correct.
You'll have to submit those. Do you have any other comments from the commission?
Yes, this is Alice Richmond. I have a comment or a question about the light. And I guess it's obvious that there's no light there over the door. That would be something that would be good to have. And I don't know whether it should be a single spot or something that looks more like what the other buildings look like on Charles Street. So I guess I would be interested in knowing why you made the decision you made, this is to the architect, to have the spotlight and not a standard fixture.
We feel that adding with no evidence of a decorative light fixture, we feel that having a light source is important. but not being able to see the light source would be the least impactful in terms of the existing fabric. So the intent is that there's light for safety and for just seeing the door lever without adding decorative elements that we've
So we'd
be open to that conversation.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you just said, but when you go over to take a look at what's at Harvard, maybe you could see if there's something that was there and it was removed.
Sure.
Okay.
Any other comment? Okay. Somebody wants to do a motion?
I'll try it. So I would move that we approve the application as submitted with the provisos that the front facade window configuration, inclusive of the garden level windows, as well as any potential light fixture in the entryway, be researched and replicated per what is found. And if there is no definitive data, then 6/6 be approved on the windows. And obviously the satellite dish is to be removed. I think that that was everything.
And then you just submit drawings, sub drawings.
Oh yeah. And that once researched, all drawings, all window details and cut sheets are submitted to staff for approval.
Okay. And do you have a second?
A second.
Okay, let's take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos? Aye. Peter Van Weinberg?
Aye.
Michael Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Wen Wen?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick.
So 112 Mount Vernon never showed up?
No, I guess not. So, that's on them, yeah.
In this case, we just deny it, or how do we handle when nobody shows up?
We just leave it as is, and they'll have to come back the next month whenever they're ready.
Okay, all right. Let's move to administrative review approval. If anybody has any comments on the four items? I don't have any comments. Okay, you want to do a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the administratives as submitted en masse.
You have a second?
Second.
Okay, let's take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Maestro Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Wen Wen?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you. Now the public hearing minutes from May 21, 2020. Do anybody has any comments? Okay, do I have a motion? Well, I do a motion to approve the public hearing minutes as submitted for May 21, 2020. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, let's take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Maestro Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Wen Wen?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Now, the reappointment of the chair and vice chair. I have a question about that.
Yep.
Are you going to send the ballots?
Yeah, so normally we would have the ballots for you ahead of time, but we would do this in person. So I have a Google document that I can, I will email to all of you momentarily. But before I do that, I need nominations for chair and co-chair. And I will note, according to the legislation and the bylaws, anyone can nominate, but it's only the current members that can vote. Or if your member is not here, then the alternate can vote. That means Matthew Blumenthal's vote will count because Joel Pierce has stepped down. So I'll just need a nomination for the chair and then the vice chair.
Okay, this is Alice Richmond. I would like to nominate P.T. Weinberg. I support him for the chair of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. I guess you need a second.
Nope, we don't need a second. So we just need someone to nominate. Okay. Any other nominations for chair?
I'd like to nominate myself for chair.
Thank you, Miguel. As far as vice chair, is there any nominations for vice chair?
Yes, I nominate, this is Alice Richmond again, I nominate Ariane Allen.
Thank you. Any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, thanks. All right, if you just give me a second, I have the document prepared on my computer, so I'm just gonna stop sharing and I will email that to you. What you'll need to do is open the email. The votes will be right there, and then just hit submit. It is secret ballot. The votes, we will not reveal who voted for who. So just give me one moment and we'll do that. Matt, I'm using your Gmail account. Is that okay?
Sorry, I was in my email. Yes, the Gmail is fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Nick, yep. Would it be easier if you just send in the past, the way we did it is that you send the ballots, then we vote, and then you announce the results, the next hearing. So you don't have to do it right now.
But I think it's best if we because according to the legislation.
I cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Are you muted?
Sorry, can you hear me? Can everybody else hear me?
Yes.
Everybody else can hear me.
I can hear you.
Miguel, can you hear me?
We cannot hear you.
I can hear you.
Maybe you can up the volume.
Everybody else can hear me though?
Yes.
Yeah, I see Rob.
There's something problem with the audio.
Everybody can.
Can you hear me? The other people?
Yeah.
Miguel, we can hear you.
I'm not sure. I'm just going to get this email sent. One second.
Yes, I can hear.
Okay. So the email is sent. Where am I? So the email is sent. I do see that there have been some responses already. Can someone just repeat this to Miguel? I don't know why he can't hear me.
No, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. So if you just check your emails, the votes are in there. Oh, and Miguel, also, the legislation says that the vote has to be announced at the same hearing. So we do have to announce the vote here. Okay. Has anybody not received the email?
Well, if I understand what you just said, though, Nick, this is Alice Richmond. I don't vote, right?
That's correct. But if you'd like to just make your voice heard, and just for the record, you're certainly welcome to do that. But it's secret ballot, so only I will know. Okay. Has everybody voted?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Last chance. Okay. All right. Let's see. Matt Blumenthal, Rosales, Allen, Santos, Wen, and Denberg. House Richmond. Perfect. Okay. So I have the results here. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. Okay. So the results I have for the vote here, we have for, let's see here. For chair, we have for PT Weinberg, and then for vice chair, we have Arian Allen. So those are the new appointments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it. So we just need a motion to, for staff comments. Let's just get them up here. Sorry. So for staff comments, there was something. Oh, one more moment. So I just wanted to make everybody aware, both commissioners as well as our commission, is we have a new policy in Beacon Hill. And the policy will now require every applicant that has approved work in the district to display this placard on their property for the duration of the construction. And this will help both myself identify approved work as well as unapproved work, and then inform the community of any changes that are happening. And then if anyone has any questions, it'll have my contact info there. So going forward, you'll probably see these pop up in the neighborhood within the next couple months or so. We've just initiated this in the South End to pretty good results. And it will just help our department as well as our commission be more transparent with the community. So if anyone has any questions, they can email me offhand. But that's all I have for staff updates.
Thanks.
Do I have to make a vote to adjourn?
Second.
Okay, we'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Daniel Santos?
Aye.
Pippi Weinberg?
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal?
Aye.
Alice Richmond?
Aye.
Wen?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
See you guys next month.